Blog Talk Radio.
Google her, she's a boss. Yeah. Michelle E. Offers. Show you how to run your business. Yeah, I'm talking lipstick bosses. Google her, she's a boss. She's a boss. Michelle E. Offers. Show you how to run your business. Yeah, I'm talking lipstick bosses. Success is what you wantin'. To the top is where we going. So you gon' need some development, consulting, even coaching. You know that women rule the world. So if you're ready, let's start with the conversation. Let's talk. Just Google her, she's a boss. Yeah.
Well, good evening. Welcome to Google Her, She's a Boss. I'm Michelle E. Alfred coming live tonight with our special segment of the Women Entrepreneurs Interview Series. And tonight's guest is going to be Darcy Hill. I'm so excited to have her come onto the show. This is a series of interviews that I will be doing on the show to showcase the many, many talented women out there, and also in support of this awesome, awesome movement of positive women across the globe. It's just, you know, a lot of these women that will be interviewing on the show, I actually handpicked them because I wanted to connect to a special kind of energy, and not just women just in business, but women who have these special talents in motivating and supporting the positive movement of women today. I am looking so forward to her joining us this evening. We do have a little bit of a delay. I'm waiting for her to come into the show and just really have a great time with us. So I just, you know, right now I'm going to just talk through the entire program this evening, because it's so important for women to support one another. And I just see this beautiful movement of women supporting, rising up and really, you know, setting forth a great example of really celebrating one another. Celebrating each other in the things that we're doing, the things that we're trying to accomplish, collaborating on various, you know, projects and ideals. It's just amazing that women can come together. A lot of people say that women are so catty and that they can't really come together to affect a common positive goal in respecting one another, or either just really supporting one another in our many businesses, the things that we're doing, our groups that we're developing, our conferences that we're holding. And this series is just created to show that is not so, that women do support one another globally, locally, nationally, globally, whatever it is that women are capable of really supporting one another in the things that we do is just so important that we grasp onto that chain of energy that's flowing in the universe right now, really, really promoting the continuous of women entrepreneurs really supporting one another. I'm just so excited about Darcy coming on to the show, because she just has an amazing, amazing bio, and she's a happy promoter. So I'm ready for her to call in and kind of get started with the interview here. But it's just amazing that we are in a season where women have some of the same ideas or similar ideas, and we are in a position to collaborate with one another with the ideals that we have, you know, globally, with our, you know, different common interests that we have. I can remember just the very first time that I decided that I wanted to be in business for myself, that some, you know, back then you didn't have a lot of, you know, people supporting you or women coming together as a team, even though we had different inspirations or aspirations or different things that motivated us to do the things that we desire to do, you always didn't have that support system in place. And one of the things that's really important is having a strong support system in place. And sometimes that comes from the connection of strangers. Sometimes it will not always be a person that you generally know. It will come from a person that you don't know. And this is one of the reasons why I wanted to do this Women Entrepreneurs series, because I wanted women across the globe to connect with different types of women that are really doing great things out there and connect globally to really support each other in the things that we're doing. And I think it's just important in a day and time like this is to expand your wings, think outside the box, and connect with those positive spirits and souls that are really, really doing great things here globally. One of the things that I want to accomplish with doing this series is making sure that we have a collection of women that are collaborating together in different projects, opening up opportunities to other women who may not have had an opportunity to get speaking engagements, paid speaking engagements. Sometimes it's just not what you know, it's who you know. And sometimes there are women out here doing great things, but they just need that one avenue or that one passage way open up to them so they can also get an opportunity to really connect with other women. So it's just amazing that we, in a day and a time, we can do things such as that. And I'm so excited about doing this series because I really want to globally connect with my other sisters across the globe. It doesn't matter what your race is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. What's important is that we're in this movement, and it's a time and an opportunity for us all to collaborate and connect together. I see that we have a caller on. I want to see if this our guest here in the show. Dorsey, are you with us?
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, good. I have my headset on, so I want to make sure I sound clear.
Very loud and clear. I am so excited to have you on the show. Welcome, welcome to Google Her. She's a boss.
when I saw that and you had reached out, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to get on there because I love that. Google Her. She's a boss. And I did a little segment on my radio show one time. I have a clip, and I said, I'm Googleable. So thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. It was just something about, it's amazing how you can feel the energy of a person, never met them and never had a conversation with them. But when I saw your picture and I told my publicist, I said, I really want to interview her. I want to have her on my show. And then when I saw, it was something that I was looking at on your page or something, promoting the Healthy, Happy, Fun Life Network, I was like, oh my gosh, I really have to have her on my show because she is a happy promoter.
Yes, I am. I'm all about happy and fun. So thank you.
I really want to get the opportunity to formally kind of share a little bit about your bio, and then I'll just have you, you know, answer a few questions or just have a great conversation. But I do want our listeners to know that Dorsey is a radio host herself and a 3-time author, speaker, healing dance therapist. Ooh, I want to hear about that. Expert of play and founder of the Healthy, Happy, Fun Life Network. Awesome. And let me give a little bit more here. Her personal journey to whole body wellness began after her mother passed away at the age of 47 while Dorsey was 21. And the reason why I wanted to read that part, because I previously sent some questions for our listeners to our interviewees, because I wanted to talk about the wellness of an entrepreneur. And I think this is going to really tie in with our conversation with Dorsey. But Dorsey, let's get started with just how you became an entrepreneur.
Well, you know, my first foray into the entrepreneurial world was I was working at a biological testing facility just a couple years out of college, and it was in my degree field, and my degrees are in biology and chemistry, and I had been working there for a couple of years, and I really wanted to do something else, and on the side, I had always done cleaning when I was growing up, you know, cleaned my house, and then did cleaning services when I was in college, because, you know, the science classes are always early in the morning. My friends that were in other classes were like getting up at noon, and I'm like, I'm done. What are y'all doing? You know? And so I ran an ad in the local paper and started doing some little cleaning jobs on the side, and then finally just took that leap and thought, well, you know, I could probably do this full time. So I just stepped into it. And then next thing you know, I was 25 employees deep, and we had about 300 clients every month recurring, you know, in addition to one-time clients. Our regular clientele was about 300 a month. And I just, you know, I was only about 25, 26 when I started it. And so it was kind of like, you know, you don't have these fears of will it work? What, you know, what will people think? You're just like, oh, I want to try this, and boom, you just go. And so I just did.
Oh, well, you know, then, but one of the things that I love that you just said is that you took a leap of faith. And a lot of women struggle with just taking that initial leap.
Oh, my gosh, yes. That's a big one, you know, for a lot of people. And to be honest, you know, as we get older, because I'm in say about 6 months or so, I'm looking at the big 5-0, and it's like I'm sitting here going, oh my gosh, where did that come from? You know, time flies when you're creating a business and, you know, really, you know, out in the world doing things. And that's, you know, I think that sometimes, especially for women, because we think we need to do all the things for all the people. And we forget that we can do that and more when we take the leap for ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I, you know, I've talked to, you know, inspiring entrepreneurs, and some of them just really, they're afraid to take that leap, and they're afraid of the failure of it all, the possibilities of failure. And one of the things that I always, when I'm talking to women, just in groups or gatherings or whether I'm coaching, is that don't focus on the possibility of you failing. You're focusing on the wrong thing, because you could very well still come out initially and really soar the very first time you start something. So there's a opposite of what you're thinking out there. Why not take the positive route?
Precisely. Exactly. It's, you know, though, it's, and I want to add this, is I think what the, to me, it seems like one of the prevailing issues in that is you see all these people posting on social media, you know, Instagram, and not so much LinkedIn, more or less Instagram and Facebook, about, oh, living a boss life or boss babe or whatever, and they have all these pretty pictures, and they look like they're doing so well, and so they have this image out that, oh, everybody's out rocking, doing, you know, right off the bat, and, you know, it doesn't always happen like that right away, and that's okay, because it's a journey. Yet when you see that, you think, oh, I'm only here, and look what they're doing. So then you just get very frustrated and go, oh, well, I'm not doing that, so why bother doing the next thing or taking that step or that leap?
Absolutely. What is some of the, during the course of you creating your business, developing your business, when you initially started the cleaning business, were there ever a time that you just wanted to give up on doing it?
Well, let me think about that. Yes. More on some days more so than others, you know, and especially in the building process, because that was, now I'm going to date myself, you know, I already kind of spilled the beans on my age. I'm going to date myself even more, you know, when I first started, you know, the internet was really in its infancy, and there were very few people on it. You know, most people were very leery of that web thing, you know, and
right.
I went ahead and did take a leap and got on the web, and I was amazed at all of a sudden, I'm like, where are these people coming from? You know,
right.
Because before that it was, okay, you know, you got to be in this Yellow Pages or that Yellow Pages or be in this newspaper. You had to be kind of like now, you have to be in almost feels like all the places because it's so noisy in order to be seen. So it gets frustrating and you think, oh, I don't know where to go, what to do. So why even
right.
do it? And it was kind of then, you know, back then with all the Yellow Pages, you got to be here, you got to be there. And then when the web came out, it was like, oh. And so, yeah, there was a lot of days that, you know, I really was like, oh, my gosh, you know, what on earth am I doing? I'm a little crazy. Yet here's the thing, though. I'm one of those that I really do like doing my own thing and kind of blazing my own trail, more or less, and it just gave me such pleasure being able to create something, and then, you know, for like I said, it was with the house cleaning, and then seeing the end product, because you get to see an immediate product at the end, the house is clean, and then knowing I was helping people that were just too busy and didn't have the time, you know, to provide a nice little feel-good. So, yes, I wanted to quit a lot of days, but that end result was like, oh, look how happy they are.
Right.
They like awesome. The lines in their carpet.
Some of the women are, but, you know, there are other people that, there was a young lady that I was coaching, and she wanted to start her own cleaning business, and she started off with a lot of struggle initially, but she eventually got her momentum, and she, you know, began to be very successful with her business. For those listeners out here that are interested in starting a cleaning business, was it initially a lot of costs involved with getting that started, or did you just, you know, start with what you had in hand and just went for it?
You know, honestly, all I did was I ran a quick little ad in one of the local papers. I kind of looked at the areas because that was more of the advertising at the time was, you know, either Yellow Pages, which were a bit of a leap at that time, or the more cost effective was the little small, I mean, you know, you could do like a little inch by inch or, you know, inch and a half by 2 inches, whatever, you know, ad in different newspapers. And I thought, I'm just going to put this out there and see. And so I did and started to get a few calls. And that's how I started. I didn't put out a whole bunch of stuff. I will tell you, though, you know, when you hear people say, oh, I was door to door. I did that. I would go, I typed up. I'm like really dating myself right here. I typed up little pieces of paper, you know, because I didn't have a computer at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I was typing up these things with my name and my phone number and some information about me and cleaning. And I would go in neighborhoods, park at one end of the street, and go up to their doors and like put the paper at their door. It was kind of like, you know, you kind of did what you had to do, you know, whereas now, you know, it's trying to figure out which platform to be on, you know, and where to concentrate advertising. So it was just a little bit different. You know, you don't have to necessarily get out and walk the neighborhood
right.
like I did, you know. So,
right.
Yeah.
So are you still doing that business now?
No. I ended up selling it completely in 2014.
Awesome. And the reason why I asked you that question, because a lot of people, they get into business and they have a successful run, but they don't realize that you can also sell a business. You don't just have to just let it go. You can sell a business opportunity, yes. Especially if it had some success involved with it. There are people out there that is willing to take on this ideal or this business, and maybe what they have can take it to the next level. But you can make, as an entrepreneur, that's a way for you to make money as well. You can get some started, and if you feel like you no longer want to do it, you don't just have to just let it disseminate and just be nothing. Yeah. You can also sell it.
100%. And, you know, unfortunately, when we decided to do that was 2008. And so, of course, you know what happened in 2008? The market, everything took a tank. And we were like, oh, for crying out loud, what are we doing? And I had two sections of it. I had a residential section and I had a commercial end. And we were trying to keep it all together and just sell it to one person or one company. And it was kind of hard to do that because, of course, it was hard for people to get also funding at that time. And we were getting interest from people, commercial companies, wanting to come in and just purchase our commercial contacts and businesses. And so I thought, what the heck? Why not? So we went ahead and split it up. So that's something too. You know, you might have a list that somebody wants to purchase. You might have actual inventory that someone would be interested in purchasing. Maybe it's the whole thing. So I, you know, at first I went into it and I was saying, no, I want to get rid of it all, lock, stock, and barrel. And then I went, well, wait a minute. We can still make something off of this end. And then a couple of years later, ended up selling the rest of it to two of my employees.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah.
There's always a way to do something. But you know what?
Yeah.
I want to get on to the next level of you because you have so many wonderful layers. And there's such a beautiful energy around just understanding what you do. Healing dance therapist. Let's talk about that.
Oh,
what,
boy.
What exactly is that?
Well, it's a dance therapy that I stumbled upon, and the woman, the founder of this dance therapy is called Chakra Dance, and she is out of Australia, and she had been a lifelong learner and studier, if you will, of different dance modalities and different psychologies from all over around the world, and finally put all of it together in a healing dance therapy. And she was invited by Deepak Chopra to come over to one of his big events and to teach it. And so she did, and he was so enthralled. He said, you have to get this into a teaching format and start teaching people and get it out into the world. So she did. It took her about 2 years, and then she started putting it online and started teaching and certifying people. And the nice thing about it is registered as a certified healing dance therapy. And for those that may be listening that aren't quite sure, you know, the chakras, your chakras, some people say chakra. I don't get all crazy about, oh, it's chakra, not chakra. I don't care. I just say, hey, chakra, it's all energy to me. As long as you're interested, I don't care. And those are the energy centers of the body, and we have seven. And the dance therapy, you don't have to have any dance experience, which is great. You just have to be willing to do some movement or whatever the, as I like to refer to, either the divine, God, spirit, Allah, whatever you call, you know, the beyond, you know, and, you know, the big kahuna in the sky, whatever, you know, just
Absolutely.
Be willing to, you know, to open up to the spirit more or less. And I love what she calls it. She calls it a dance practice for the soul. And telling you, oh my goodness, I have had men and I've had women, and I've even had some of the deaf community in a class. Oh, girl, let me tell you, almost everyone at some point ends up crying because they're just overwhelmed in a good way. And they say, oh my gosh, Dorsey, I've never felt so close to source, or I saw this, or this cleared up. It's just so, it's like being in a warm, inviting room and having your own personal little spiritual connection. It's awesome.
Oh, wow. I would love to experience something like that.
I'm telling you, it's amazing.
As entrepreneurs, that we find things like this, you know, we go day to day trying to run the business, but we need to get time away to and appreciate different things like this, something different, something that's good for the soul, good for the body. And I love this dance practice for the soul. I love that.
I know. Doesn't that sound yummy?
Yes.
That sounds yummy, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed. I love things like that. You know, I am beginning to learn more about the chakra, you know, however you, like you said, however you want to call it. But I think it's great for people to understand that you need to find that moment of just releasing all the cares that we're carrying day to day and release that and then find that good energy flowing around us. And I'm really starting to get very heavily into the movement of energy, understanding what the energy is all about, because it's such a great release, and I am open to all different experiences, and I'm definitely going to look into this healing dance therapy.
Well, you know what, I like to joke and say that, you know, some people, when they first would hear about it, would say, oh, is that some of that woo-woo voodoo? And I'm like, whoa, what? No, you know, and the nice thing is so many people now are open to different experiences because they know that there's something else, there's something bigger, there's something, you know, missing or more. And the scientist in me loves the fact that science is finally catching up and being able to quantify and record and actually scan and see your different energies and auras around the body. That to me is just amazing. And so I just, like I said, for the scientist in me, helps to validate for those that are kind of on the fence, like, I don't know about this. And because then I can kick into, you know, that background and say, okay, here, let's look at this and think about it this way. And I love that you said, you know, spiritual, and that you're always seeking, because I am as well. And I'm a firm believer in the mind, body, spirit connection and balance. Because I do like to say, you know, if one of those are out of balance, that's when the body is in a state of dis-ease, not disease. Mm-hmm. It's dis-ease.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is, like I said earlier, is because just those different things, titles of Healthy, Happy, Fun Life Network. And when I saw all of that, I said, oh, my gosh, she's a happy promoter. When I see things like that and see that others are involved in that, though, that's the kind of energy that I like to connect with and be around, because I love being happy. I don't know who enjoys being sad, but one of the things that I strategically in my day-to-day life find my happy spaces, happy moments, you know, I'm not saying that everything is perfect, but I make a conscious effort in making sure that I engage myself with happy activities and just developing those great relationships with other people globally. I don't care who you are, if I don't know you, but I feel your good energy. I love that.
Well,
and it's amazing how you can feel that, even if you've never met a person.
Well, you know, that's the thing about energy that we talk about, energy or spirit, that just exudes from somebody. And I know, you know, and I'm sure your listeners do as well, you can tell when you get around somebody and you have that feeling like, ugh, this is going to be a difficult conversation, you know, because they it's like they ooze ick, you know, they're not happy, or they're more of a pessimistic person, or you ask them a question and they have this one sentence or one word, you're like, wow, I would have a better conversation, you know, talking to my refrigerator, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, and you did say something, and, you know, I talk about this too, just because I, you know, you and I both like to search for the happiness or the gratitude, it doesn't mean that life is always, you know, just beautiful unicorn roses every day. Yes, there's ups and downs, and there's struggles, and we're working to either create a business, scale a business, sell a business, whatever, leave a legacy, and, you know, you can either, something I like to say, do it in your poopy pants, or do it in your happy pants, you know, either or. Because you still have the choice at the end of the day, you know. And the thing, there was something I saw not long ago, and I was like, oh, that is so true. You know, people live for the weekend. People live for a vacation. People live for the holidays, for these fleeting moments of happiness. And, you know, it's like, well, where did we start thinking that it's only okay to be happy in moments instead of having happiness be more habitual and a lifestyle?
Yes. Absolutely. One of the things that the Healthy Happy Fun Life Network, tell us a lot about what, how you got that started and what it truly encompasses of being in a part of that network.
Well, thank you for that. It's one of those things, you take all these things that you've done for all the years, you know, and all this, what do they say? Anything that you've done or have like 10,000 hours of experience in, you're an expert. And so you start thinking about all these things that I've done and I like and I do, and then I make a habit for myself, you know, whether it's my physical health, my spiritual health, or, you know, my mental health, putting all that together. I went, okay, wait a minute. I will do anything possible to be healthy. I will always search for ways to be happy, and I like to have fun in my life. And it just sort of came together. I was having a conversation with some new friends that we are doing some collaborating, and they were like, oh my gosh, that's a movement and a network. I was like, yes. And then I said, okay, what are you talking about? Because, you know, sometimes, you know, you talk about, you know, with some of your coaching clients, sometimes it takes, as entrepreneurs, we get so much in our stuff that we don't see our own genius until somebody else outside of us says, oh, you're XYZ, and you go, oh, my gosh, yes. And so when they said that, because I talk about these things all the time, I went, oh, ding, 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 thank you for playing. Yes, that's a winner. And, you know, my own thing is I want, especially women, because we just, again, are always doing all the things for all the people other than ourselves. And I want everyone to know that we have a divine right to be happy, to be healthy, and to have fun at the same time in this life. And it doesn't have to be on the struggle bus. That's just wrong. And it's not, you know, are there going to be struggles? Of course, we're human. Does it have to happen all the time? And do we have to stay on the struggle bus? No. It's just like that hamster on a wheel. You get into that habit of struggle and hustle and, you know, doing this and that and never taking a break and seeing the happy moments, looking for the healthy moments. It's just a habit, and you just forget how to make it your daily routine. And so that's my whole purpose with this, is to create a network so that people can come in and get the resources for whatever avenue. If you're wanting a healthy life, here's people and things that I know, like, and trust, and here's how you can do it. If you want to work on happiness for you, what does it look like? How do you make it habitual? You can go down that path. And then the same with fun. And that, of course, also includes the spiritual aspect as well, because you have to put that in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things that you mentioned earlier about mental health, and there's such a thing that's going on with a lot of people who don't really recognize mental health, and when they're dealing with it, they don't know what to do, avenues, how to navigate it through life mentally. What are some of the things that the Healthy, Happy, Fun Life Network can do for a person that don't quite understand that they're possibly dealing with mental health? How can this network help that type of person to identify that they may be dealing with something like this?
Well, you know, the nice thing is I have worked really hard to have people, again, in my personal network that I really know, like, and trust and feel completely comfortable referring out. Because, you know, let's face it, as entrepreneurs, I don't know everything. And I will be the first to admit I don't know that. I don't know how to do that. I know someone I trust that I know will take care of you. So within the network that I'm creating, not only are there things that maybe it's just some simple mindset shifts that you need to be brought, you know, brought to awareness around that you don't see that you're saying these certain things to yourself over and over, or that, because again, it's that being in around a coaching environment where someone else can go, wait, do you realize you're always saying this, that, or the other, and those are keeping you stuck because you say you want this, yet the next thing out of your mouth is negating it. So then what does your mind do? It immediately goes to work on what you told it. So if you just said, I can't, or I don't, or, you know, I should, well, it's going to go to work on you can't have it, you don't have it, you should, and now you're not. So sometimes it's just something so simple as having that. Now, if it is more of a deeper issue that maybe is more of a psychological type of issue, I do have some friends that I really trust that we can refer out, you know, for having, you know, sometimes it's some little talks and maybe it's a deeper dive because, you know, mental health, I love how it's more open now and people are realizing how important it is to take care of your mental health. So if it's something as simple as mindset shifts, then, you know, I got you covered. If it's deeper than that, I have people that I know I can trust that definitely have your back covered.
Absolutely. And I asked that question because in case someone's listening that, you know, maybe dealing with mental overload or just, you know, they're going through these mental changes, sometimes people just have to have a place where they can reach out to or a network that can, you know, refer them to the right people. Even as entrepreneurs, we are on mental overload sometimes. And because we're trying to be great at what we're doing, we forget that we need to take a mental break.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, and I like to joke and say, have you seen The Matrix? Have you ever watched The Matrix movies?
I have.
Well, you know how they, you know, they plug in or they unplug. I said, sometimes it'd be nice if you could plug in and, like, download everything that's in your brain and sort of just, you know, clear it out and put it into folders and then go look at it later and go, oh, yeah, I want to put that back in. And, oh, no, let me clear out some space, you know, delete all these files. And, you know, since we can't do that, you know, and sometimes it's so simple and doing some mindset exercises. And I'll be honest with you, there's times with just doing like the chakra dance, you know, doing the healing dance, because it gets you out of that spin, because that's a lot of what I see people, especially entrepreneurs, get into is that spin of, I got to be here, I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And next thing you know, you don't know up, down, right, left, whatever, and just being able, because here's something too I hear a lot of people say is, oh, I either don't have time to meditate, or I don't know how to meditate, or I can't meditate. And I'm like, ooh, you're the right person to meditate.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and it's not just sitting around, you know, like in lotus position with your hands out and, you know, doing the all day. That's not meditation. Right. Sometimes it's guided. Sometimes it's specific music just to get you out of that, you know, that little hamster on the wheel running and running and running. And so anyway, sorry, I like to get off on tangents on that because I'm just so excited that it's so much more open and accepted about realizing how important it is and that you really need to include that in your overall health and well-being.
Absolutely. As a, you know, I'm going to switch gears a little bit. As an entrepreneur, you are involved in quite a few things here. You're a radio host, and we're going to talk about that in a second, and 3 times author, speaker, and you're involved in this network. How do you, as an entrepreneur, balance all that and be successful at running it?
Well, I'm a little crazy. Excuse me. And no, I am one of those crazy people that I like to be busy, and when I'm very creative. So when I get in my creative mode, I can crank out content. I can write, you know, books like no one's business. And I realize, you know, we're all, and this is something that I really want your listeners to know and to be appreciative about for themselves, is we all have gifts. And not everyone has the same gift. And imagine if everyone did, how absolutely boring this world would be. And so I, I mean, seriously, you know, we all need different gifts and talents because, but quite frankly, as much as you and I are out, we cannot reach all the people that even we want to. It's just not possible.
Yes.
You know, and so I just find for me the thing that I did have to learn, I'll be honest, that I cannot efficiently into the best and highest and greatest of my good and for anyone else do everything.
Yes.
So I had to pick and choose what are the things that lights me up and I can do with ease.
Yes.
And those are writing, and those are speaking, and that is doing, you know, the chakra dance. And then, you know, it really lights me up thinking about all the people that we're going to be able to have come in once the Healthy, Happy, Fun Life Network launches and create that community. Those are things that lights me up. So it's easy. So my suggestion would be if you're trying to do all the things and there's things that you find you're struggling with, you know, like I said, you're on that struggle bus about, that's probably something that you need to outsource. And then you can shine your excellence in doing the things that make your heart happy, because then it's easy to do and you'll be able to get it done.
Absolutely. You know, I love that wonderful advice, because a lot of entrepreneurs, they do find themselves trying to do it all, and they need to understand it's nothing wrong with having to outsource or delegate to someone else, because it is important for you to pick and choose those things that you're the best at and that lights your spirit up, because then you will be more effective. And other people will see that around you as well.
Well, you know, you mentioned earlier about how you can feel someone's energy or spirit, even just looking at a picture or maybe watching, you know, a like Facebook Live or a little video or something, you know. And when you're trying to do all the things that you think you have to do, and, you know, whether you work for someone else, whether you're working on your own or whatever, you come across sometimes as very inauthentic, because let's face it, you're not buying it yourself. And I was in that for I was in that for a while, like, oh, I was trying to do this kind of thing or this type of coaching, and it's like I could tell it wasn't landing, because it's like my heart was hurting almost, like this just doesn't make me happy, and people were not picking up on it. And so you have to go, okay, if they're not picking up on it, then I'm obviously not doing what I'm meant to do. So let me, you know, get to where I need to be. And here's something else that I did, and it's amazing. I just put something simple out. I've done this a couple of times. I've done it in, if you have like network groups that you go to, it's great to do. I just put something on like this on Facebook and said, more or less, how do you see me? Or, you know, something like that. You know, you can even say, you know, how do I come across to you? Or when you think of me or look at me, what do you see or feel? And just let people respond and be open to whatever their responses are. You know, though, most of the time when you're really being authentic, they will respond back. And, you know, I did this, like I said, at one of my former network meetings, and it was a piece of paper. We called it Positive Bombardment. And then I put my name on the top of the paper and then passed it around to everybody in the group, and we all did this, and they didn't sign their name. So when you got it back, you didn't know who wrote what. You just had all these things on your paper. And, I mean, it was things like leader, charismatic, energetic, funny, friendly, bubbly, funny, get it all, fantastic, happy. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I was like, yes, that's how I want to be seen. Because then that draws people in, and they'll come for the happy, and then they realize, wow, I'm getting all this content and value out the back end, but yet, you know, I'm also realizing, wow, it's okay to be happy while I'm learning. So I was like, oh, I'm being seen how I want to be seen.
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's just so much you have here that I want to go through, but I know that the time, the hour is getting closer and closer to that time. But I don't want to let go of being a part of your beautiful energy. What's your because you've branched off and done so many wonderful things, even starting from, you know, starting your own cleaning business and growing it to a point and selling it. And then you went on to, you know, hosting your own show and authoring multiple books and starting this network. What is the entire dream that you have of really being this ultimate entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh, you know, that's my dream. You know what? I live in Texas. So we like to say, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. So I also like to say dream big or go home, you know.
Yes.
And I do believe if your dreams don't kind of scare you, then you're not dreaming big enough.
Yes.
And, you know, my ultimate goals are, you know, I'm working right now, and this is a big one. It's kind of one of those gulp moments. Is, you know, I'm working on developing a couple of TV shows branched off of one from the radio show, and then a couple of ideas, because once I started getting into it and working with different people on how to start pitching and what, you know, the studio execs want, you know, kind of thing, you know, you start going, oh my gosh, I could do this. And again, my creative juices were flowing and I could do this and that. And the whole purpose is, you know, everything is, it's so noisy. So where do you go to find your people? And I don't mind being, you know, behind a microphone, you know, being in front of the camera, you know, kind of thing, being in front of people speaking. So that, again, for some people would scare the, you know, what out of them, and they would forever do it, much less dream of it. They'd have a nightmare. They wouldn't dream it. They'd nightmare it. And for me, is how do I reach more people and, you know, bring the warmth and the happy and the fun and the play that as we age, we forget to do? And that is, you know, larger screens. That's, you know, being in front of, you know, like the big time gurus and being on their stages and having my own, whether it's eventually on Netflix or Amazon or NBC or whatever. So just stay tuned.
All right. I love that. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. And I'm so glad to get to know you like right now.
I know. It's like, sure. Don't worry.
And I can say, I knew her. I mean,
it's like, I knew her when, and she was crazy back then.
You know, with all the wonderful things that you have going on, who would you say inspires you, dead or alive?
Well, you know, I've always had this one person that I really aspire I always aspired to be, and I almost feel like a kindred spirit, more or less. And it's Queen Elizabeth I, and I'm not talking about the Queen Elizabeth that's on the throne right now. The first one from, you know, she reigned from about 1558 to about 1603. Mm-hmm. And the way I look at it is, and there's a lot of comparisons to today, because she was a woman ruler in a very masculine world. And we have a lot of women now that are really trying their, they're not trying, they're doing, you know, they're getting out and they're creating businesses and they're competing in a man's world, you know, and those that have gone before us, you know, have really, I mean, you got to give it to them because they worked their tails off for us to feel comfortable and, you know, feel empowered to be able to step out on the stages, to have shows, you know, to have podcasts and all of this. And
absolutely.
So that's why I really, I just love her story, because not only did she do well, you know, in a very masculine world, during her reign was one of the most peaceful and the most prosperous. So it's just
absolutely
a great example that we can do anything that anyone else can. We can do it just as good, maybe a little bit better. You know, I don't believe in competition at all, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, and have some fun doing it, because, I mean, hey, she, you know, she had all kinds of jewels and nice clothes, all kinds of other stuff, so you know she had fun along the way.
Yes. Well, you know, Queen Elizabeth, you know, my middle name is Elizabeth, so I just feel some kind of connection there.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I did not know that when you were asking me, you know, when we had done our little pre-show stuff, you know, and I was like, oh, I love Elizabeth, you know. I did not know. see, there's synchronicities here. Look at that.
All that divine connection here.
I know. It's like, you'll be fun.
Was Queen Elizabeth being one of the people that inspire you by her story, what kind of book as an entrepreneur would you recommend to another entrepreneur who needs that inspiration or just need a reference tool to, you know, keep her motivated and on path with her goals? What book would you recommend?
You know, I'm an avid reader and writer, so I always have way more than I should. I have a Nook, I have my Kindle app, I have Audible, I have Prime. My gosh, I have so much. And then I have actual books as well. I really have gotten to where I enjoy more of the older books, and some of those are, one of them is Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And it's just one of those things because he interviewed so many titans of business to figure out more of their mindset. How did they think about things? How did they move through things? And that is very applicable, even though it was written in the early 1900s.
Yes.
It's still very applicable to today. And it's something that a lot of people that I follow and aspire to actually read, like, every year. You know how you have a lot of people, you know, the Mel Robbins or Tony Robbins or Marie Forleo or even Oprah, you know, a lot of those people will tell you, oh, there's certain books they read every year. And you always come to it newly because you're in a different place every year when you read it. And especially for entrepreneurs and women, so that we can really learn how to efficiently budget our time, if you will. Another favorite is The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferriss.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. And for me, another one, there's like three of them, The Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, The 4-Hour Work Week by Timothy Ferriss, and then The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg, D-U-H-I-G-G, you know, The Power of Habit. Because, however, how you do anything is how you do everything. And if you have bad time habits, you know, bad mindset habits, you know, you're not guarding yourself with boundaries, then there's not much is going to go right or easy. And so those would be some good ones that I would like to recommend because I like them myself.
Oh, absolutely. I've read some of those myself, and tell me, and sometimes when I read, I reference them over and over whenever I need them. So those are some great selections. I am just so happy, Dorsey, to have had you on this show. And I want to make sure that every time a woman comes onto this show, all our listeners know how to reach out and be a part of the experience of you. So if you don't mind, can you tell us of some of your social medias and tell us of where we can listen to your show?
Sure, that would be, thank you for that. I would love that. I actually have a little, if anyone's interested, a free ebook. It's 35 pages, and it's about habitual happiness. And let's face it, let me just say this. Don't hate the messenger. You can hate the message. Don't hate the messenger. The holidays are coming, people. And so why don't we get in a better state of happiness now so that we're not in our poopy holiday pants and then we can be in our happy holiday pants. So to make it easier, you know, on the listeners, because this is Google her, she's a boss. I have a quick little link, and it's bit.ly/Google her. Real easy. And they can get that ebook, Habitual Happiness. And then my show, you're going to laugh. It's, you know, it's one of these like, oh, what is your show called? It's The Dorsey Show, The Healthy Happy Fun Hour.
All right.
Of course, The Healthy Happy Fun Hour. And people can find it on Vinyl Draft Radio. And it's vinyl, like vinyl records. And draft is D-R-A-U-G-H-T. It's the old English spelling of draft beer. So Vinyl Draft Radio. I know. It's the guys that own the station love vinyl records, and they like craft beer. So there you go, Vinyl Draft Radio.
Well, Thank you so much, Dorsey, for joining us on Google Her. She's a Boss. And I want all our listeners to make sure you reach out and support Dorsey Hill and all her efforts. And this is some Michelle E. Alford signing off on Google Her. She's a Boss. Thank you for listening.
Google her, she's a boss. Yeah. Michelle E. Alford. Show you how to run your business. Yeah, I'm talking lipstick bosses. Google her, she's a boss.
She's a boss.
Michelle E. Alford. Show you how to run your business. Yeah, I'm talking lipstick bosses. Success is what you wantin'. Hey. To the top is where we going. So you gon' need some development, yeah. Consulting, even coaching. You know that women rule the world. So if you're ready, let's start. With the conversation, let's talk. Just Google her, she's a boss. Yeah.